You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your interest. We thank you for your word. Spirit of God, we thank you for your personal exercise, the exercise of your personal presence, God. Exercise us. Do with that work in our head and our heart, our God, that we would be the beneficiaries immediately of all that you would do. God, thank you very much for loving us. Thank you that you are an ever-present shelter. Thank you in Christ's name. Amen. In our study back in the Gospel of John, remember the Apostle John is the last living apostle. He's the last writer God uses. And he's going to give you a view of all of history, Old Testament, New Testament. Going to bring it all together. It all centers. You want to put it all together. It finds its home in a person. The person is our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to bring us to God, the Creator. So now, in the light of that, and so the Gospel of John is written that we might know, behold, like in Isaiah 40, behold thy God. Not behold thy servant, behold thy king, behold thy God. Now, having said that, and God is going to help us as he unfolds the Gospel of John according to his good pleasure, and that we're going to discover the wonderful movement in the life, earthly life of our Lord Jesus Christ and its wonderful benefit to us. So now, in the light of that, you'll remember that here John the Baptist has died. This is the background. He already died and all of that. So that now when you come to John chapter 6, you're looking out into that, having occurred. And so they come and it's Passover, near the Passover time. Chapter 6 and verse 4. And you'll remember that Philip wanted to know. Remember the Lord said it was time to eat. They were out in the middle of the no man's land, as it were. And all the people were there that followed them, 5,000 men plus women and children. And so they're all there. And Philip is considering. Verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company coming to him, and he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Where are we going to get bread? And well, there's nowhere. There's no stores. There's no shopping center. You're out in the middle of nowhere. In the middle of nowhere. No little shop to go to. Nothing. So now, having said that, not only is Philip having asked to where, but in verse 7, Philip answered, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And you're asking me where? Well, there's nowhere. And in addition, we don't have the money. We're nowhere, and we don't have any money to do this. So you're asking an impossible thing. And then Andrew comes in, you know, in verse 8, and verse 8 and 9. Andrew comes in and said, Hey, maybe sort of funny, maybe to him. Hey, listen, here's a lad with 5 loaves and 2 small, little, tiny, 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 weeny fishes. Here's 5 biscuits and tiny, weeny fishes, 2 of them. Here they are. Here they are, Lord. And looking out, you know, sort of made a little joke, maybe. You know, what is this in the light of that? This is nothing. And then the Lord brought that about. He could have taken him where there was a city, but he didn't. He took him where there was no city, no stores. He's going to teach them a lesson about his wonderful ability to be involved. And thus with the great need, not only the need of the disciples, but the need of the people, and God goes and, remember, and feeds the 5,000 men plus women and children, and 15 and probably 1,000 or more, and they're all in little groups out there in the on the hillside, all lined up in little order, so it looks, and they're going to serve them. The 12 apostles are going to go, disciples are going to go and fill 12 baskets with just 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and they're going to be full, and they're going to go up and down, and everyone's going to have sufficient. And when they're all done, they're going to bring the baskets back when they're all finished, and the basket's going to be full so that the Peter, James, and John can reach into a full basket and have their lunch. So everyone has enough, God. That was a wonderful thing that God did, nothing to it, but God did that so that everyone, boy, they're impressed. They're impressed. And they're so impressed, remember, verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet, remember, they looking, John, the Pharisees, Sadducees, the Pharisees, wanted to know with John the Baptist, are you that prophet? Prophet. The prophet. Moses spoke about the prophet. This must be the prophet Moses spoke about. And you remember, this is the background. The Lord is leading into what? He's going to give him the wonderful message of the bread of life. And the bread that Moses looked to God and God provided bread from heaven. Is this that man? And thus, verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force, take him and make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Now are they going to take him by force and make him king? Now they understand Messiah, messianic kingdom, but that isn't what they're working with. They're working with the fact that here's somebody that provides a free meal, a very good meal, plenty to it. He can heal us, and remember the verbs are continuous. He's continually healing them as he travels. Every time, just go everywhere, he doesn't stop. Everyone has made, an impression is made on everybody that he heals. And any whatever their problems were, we aren't even told what they are. So now they've got a healer for health, they've got an Obamacare, and they've got food stamps. We've got everything. We got everything we need. Wow. We're going to make him king. But not king. King, Messiah, Messianic kingdom. No. King on our terms as we understand it. Now the disciples remember our understanding. He's king. They understand. Peter, James, and John. Do you know he's king? Yes, we believe he's the king. He's the rightful king. So now they're going to be encouraged that the crowd is encouraged, the men are encouraged to make him king, and Peter, James, and John are all going to line up and say, yay, we've got a good movement going to make him king. Hey, let's encourage everybody and he can be king. But the disciples weren't discerning what they were out about. And it was a good thing. Wait, listen, they opened the Bible. Ever hear that? Look at, they carried a Bible. Yay! They opened the Bible. Yay! But they opened it not with a good reason. Not with good understanding. They wanted him king, but not, the disciples didn't get it. Now, God, do you know how to handle everything? He said, I do. So now what did he do in verse 15? When even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea. So God sent them down to the seashore where they had departed from their boat ship. And in the process, he went up alone in the mountainside. Now he marvelously dismissed all those thousands of people. He just did it. But he also dismissed his disciples. He had to get them out of the way. They had to get out of the way. They didn't comprehend what was happening. We're going to take him by force and make him king. God said, whoops, we got to fix this. And so the disciples were sent out without him. He dismissed them in some marvelous way, as he can dismiss them. And he went up alone into the mountain. They went into the boat. Verse 17, they entered into a ship and went over the sea towards Capernaum, where they had left. And it was now dark. So now they're going, it's nighttime. They've stayed all day. They're going out at the night. And Jesus, now it was now dark, verse 17, and Jesus was not come to them. So here they are, they go out in the boat, and it gets darker and darker and darker. And as they go out, and in the process of going out there, they're going to go. Here's the northern part, here's the Sea of Galilee up here, and here's Bethsaida over here, as it were. And they're going to go right across, back across, over to Capernaum. The crowd ran the 3 miles or so over this way to the land, the big crowd. And the big crowd is going to follow them on the land. And here they are, and they're going to go in the boat. And the storm comes. And in the storm, they're going out. It's about a 3 mile, 3 or 4 mile, depending on how you look at it, and across to make the loop from Bethsaida over to Capernaum. And in the process of that, they rowed. Verse 18. And the sea arose by reason of great wind that blew. And remember now, we shared it before. When the wind comes down, here's the north Sea of Galilee up in the north, and here's the mountain, as it were. And you slide down, just like think of sliding down the slide, and the storm, the weather, everything, the wind slides right down that slide, the mountain, right into the water like a glacier. That makes big waves when it hits, big tidal waves even when the glacier hits the water. And wow, and here comes that downwind, and it comes, and the waves storm, it's a terrible storm, can be there in the sea. These are professional fishermen, and it's their whole life they've been out there fishing. They know about storms. But here's a storm coming down. The waves can get 20 feet high out in that storm. Wow, or more. So here's a storm comes, great storm, and the Lord sent them out, and he sent them out, and it was going to get dark, and it got darker. And so when, verse 19, so when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, that's 607 feet per furlong, a stadia, whatever, and maybe 3 or 4 miles, out there, and they're rowing to get there, and it's dark, and the night's going on, as you'll see. And they see Jesus walking on the sea, drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. So here they are rowing out in the sea, and they're out there, and Jesus is there on the hillside praying alone, and they're out there, headed out into the sea, Sea of Galilee. And it is dark, and the storm is there. Very, very difficult storm, to say the least. And God knew that. God knew all of that. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and remember now that God's going to teach them all kinds of things. You have to go to school to be a good student. You got to go to school. You got to go to the school of life if you're going to be a good student. You have to learn well from life. When you grow up, as you're growing, you want to learn about the world you live in. And thus, Peter, James, and John, and all of them, they're all in the ship, and they're out there, and as they go across, they're going to be there. The Lord's back there. They're out here, so they can't contribute to the crowd, because they're gone. And God sent them out in a storm, and it's dark, very dark. And off they go in a storm, and the Lord's there on the hill, all alone. Now, in order to, God gives you 3 windows, as it were, to look at this. And we're going to look at the 3 of them to see it. You have to look at 3 windows. You want to see this? John gives you, boom, boom, he's after something. He gets the point across. God is wonderfully, wonderfully able to educate people that want to be educated, to teach them. And he is the master of circumstance to make it work. Now, we read it in Psalm 25. He will teach in the way that he will what? Choose. And God knows how to do it. So here they are out there. Now, in order to do that, would you allow me to go over to, if I can, in your Bible. Remember now, they're going to make go to Mark. Mark chapter 6. We're going to look at each window to get it. And in Mark chapter 6, if I can, in verse 47. Mark 6 and 47. And you'll note, in his same context, and verse 45, I'll give you a little bit. And straightway he constraineth his disciples to get into the ship. He made them get in there to go. Remember, they wouldn't. He's going to stay. And he said, you go. Go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, remember now, it's getting dark, and they're going out on the ship. The ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. Now something has happened. Here's the storm. You got to put the pieces together. Here's the storm. And you'll pick it up in a minute. I'll go to verse 48, and you'll have it. And he saw them as he's in the mountain looking in the dark, looking out there. Into the ocean, into the sea. It's all dark. No lighthouses, no little lights. And there he is, and he stands there and looks from the mountainside and sees them out there in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Now they were rowing, they were toiling in verse 48. They were toiling as they did it. They were continuing, present tense, they were toiling. Now, the word toiling is the word to have an examination. It's when you examine metals for the purity of the metal. And it is elsewhere of demons, torment, torture, examination. They're rowing, they're toiling, and they're under a it isn't easy to row in a storm. A big storm. You aren't in a great battleship. You're in a fishing boat. And you're having to row and row. And if you've ever had that, I had it once for a little bit, not like that, in rowing. And when you're trying to row against the tide and the storm, I have to tell you, it is hard. You can't win. And God, what have you done? They're rowing. It's torture. It's an examination. They're under great duress in doing this, trying to row to get to where they were supposed to go. And God brought them not closer to land. He brought them out into the middle. The Sea of Galilee is 12 and a half miles long and 7.5 miles wide. He brought them out into the middle. The middle of the Sea of Galilee. In the middle of it. In the middle. Now remember, they're rowing real hard. They're trying. And when you row and the wind is blowing and the waves are moving, you're going to go where you... Just think of an airplane. And if it can hit the jet stream going real fast... The jet stream, the plane goes at 550 miles an hour and put it in the jet stream and whoo, it arrives in no time at all. The jet stream carries it. The waves and the storm carried the ship, the little ship they're rowing, and you don't have any control. You don't have any control. You just row and try to stay afloat and try to make it. And they're professional fishermen. And there they are out there. And they're rowing, and they're doing so, and they're toiling, being tortured. It's a hard thing that they're doing. They're tossed about and trying to row, and thus they're going out into the midst of the Sea of Galilee. And he saw them, verse 48, he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. It wasn't helping. The wind was against them. And it was about the fourth watch in the night. That's Roman time. Roman 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. divided four times, 3 hours each. This is the fourth. 1, 2, 3, 4. This is 3 a.m. in the morning, 3 to 6. This is the darkest part of the night, 3 a.m. And they're rowing and they're toiling and they're tired and they're being tortured. There's no relief. You can't stop. You got to keep working at it. There's no way to quit. And thus, here they are, very, very dark, in the middle of the storm, middle of the Sea of Galilee, as it were. And in the fourth watch in the night, very, very, again, at 3 a.m. or so. And in the process, here he is. Now he comes. He sees them. Why couldn't he have come earlier? But he didn't want to come earlier. He didn't want to come. He's never late. And delays, God's delay, is never God's denial. God's delay is never God's denial. Delay doesn't mean he denied something. It just isn't the time. It just isn't the time. Not yet. So now, in the process, and the night was coming, and verse 48, Mark 6, and he was walking upon the sea and would have passed them by. He's walking upon the sea and he would have passed them by. He would have gone right by them. You know, and they're out there rowing, and then here comes someone walking out there on the waves, and only God can do this, you know. And out there in the waves, he's walking, and here he's on the land looking, and the next thing he's out there walking, and he's probably got there. Hi, guys, how are you doing? You know, looking, wave, little wave. And he keeps going. And now, what are you going to do? Well, what are they going to do? That's the interesting thing. He made as if he wasn't going to stop. He made as if it didn't matter. He made a difference that wasn't important. Why? Why? Do you understand Peter, James, and John and the rest of you guys? I'm on the shoreline. I purposely stood there. And I sent you out there all alone. I want you to learn something. Learn what? I didn't need to be in the boat asleep. I'm already wherever you are. I am God, and I'm there. You don't need to see me or have my physical being. I am there in your boat. I am in the storm. I want you to learn that. Now, so there they are. He's walking, going to go by, pass them by, and, you know, to go by them. And they cried. And they cried out. Mark chapter 6, verse 49. When they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, a ghost. And they cried out. They cried out and they screamed out. They yelled. Fear. Shuddering cries. A ghost! Do you know the storm was putting them in great danger? But they are more terrified now of the person walking on water. Have you ever been afraid of something? And then something else comes along that is more frightening than what you're afraid of. And you forget all about what you were afraid of. Ever been climbing or doing something? Having to do something? And you go and climb. And you climb. And then you're climbing, and you're concerned about falling. And all of a sudden, something else happens to get your attention that is more fearsome. And there's a big bald eagle up there looking at you, or whatever it is. And you're climbing. Wow. And you know, you're caught up. You were concerned about falling off the cliff, climb, but now you aren't, because there is a thing that's even more fearsome and more dangerous, as far as you're concerned, than falling. This eagle may think you're food. Wow. They, when they saw him walking, they thought they saw a ghost, a spirit, and they were terrified and cried out in fear. Verse 50. For they all saw him, and they were in the process as they saw him, and they were troubled. They were troubled. They were brought into a fear. And now, and immediately he talked with them and said, Be of good cheer, be of good courage, confidence. It is I, or literally, I am. I am. I am. It is I. I am. I am the I am. And be of good cheer, be of good courage, confidence. It is I. Be not afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't get all trembling and shaking. Don't do that. Don't do that at all. Now, having said that, over, if you would, in the light of that, over to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 14. And you're going to pick it up, chapter 14, may I go, to verse, pick up the thought so you have it. In verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway, immediately Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, there's your word, and it is I, be not afraid, don't be afraid. It's me. I am me. And, verse 27, be not afraid. And Peter, verse 28, Peter answered him, because he recognized his words, be not afraid. Who says that? Who says it is I? I am. Who says I am? Only he can say I am. It is Peter was awakened. And Peter answered and said, verse 28, Lord, bid me come unto thee on the waters. Bid me to come unto thee upon the waters. God, would you, that's Peter, you know, bid me to come upon the waters, and that's what he wanted him to do. Peter, now here's a storm, dark, he's out there walking, he's encouraged them not to be afraid. He said, it is be of good cheer, confidence, courage. It's I am. And Peter is that's calming things down a bit, but not really. And Peter is caught up though with it, and he is said, bid me, allow me to come to you out there. That was a pretty daring thing to say. And thus in chapter 14, and in verse 29, and Jesus answered him and said, come. He said, come. That's a command. You want me to command you? All right. I command you. Come. Verse 29. And when Peter was come down, he got out, descended out of the boat, ship, and he came down out of the ship, and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He walked on the water. So he literally was caught up with the Lord, and remember, he's a fisherman. He's sea, the storm, everything, and he's caught up in the movement, and he steps out and in great trusting God, it seems, and trusting God, and off he goes to walk. He's starting to walk on the water like our Lord, and the Lord said to walk, and he would walk. So on the water, he's starting to walk, and as he's walking to go to the Lord Jesus. Verse 30, and when he saw the wind, boisterous, very strong, the gale, the storm, and because he lost track of the occasion, the storm, the problem around him, the environment, he forgot it for a moment. But now, he's right in, he isn't looking at it from the seashore looking at the storm. He isn't looking at the storm from the boat. He's looking at the storm. He's standing in it. He's standing in the storm on the waves. Now that's a whole different window. You can say, I see something. When you're in the middle of the problem, to see it, that's a whole nother ball game. To see the thing from the middle of the problem. And he's in the middle of the problem. A strong wind. And he recognizes, this is crazy. How can I do this? Now, so in verse 30. And, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, understandably, and began to sink, he was actually going down. Now, can he swim? But hey, listen, you have to understand. Verse 31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him with force, with seizing. And just Peter's going down, and Peter, he grabbed the hand and grabbed Peter, and up he went. Wow. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith. Of little faith. And that means tiny. The word faith and tiny. Tiny faith. You have tiny faith. You have such an inadequate faith. You didn't believe. How little you trust me. I told you to walk. And you were looking at me. When I looked at the Lord, the dove of peace flew into my heart. When I looked at the dove of peace, peace flew away. As long as my eye was on you, God, it didn't matter about anything. But then I looked at the things, how was it working out around me? And I lost you. That's the next word. In verse 31, O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? That's only used one other time, doubt, in the end of Matthew 28. Now, the word doubt is made up of the word twice and then to stand twice, to waver. It means to stand in two ways, and you don't know which way to go. Now, here's our Lord come, and here's the ocean, here's the waves of the Sea of Galilee saying, come. Come. Down. Down. And Peter's looking, and he's caught. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? You let the circumstances, the conditions of the seemingly normal world that never can work out, you forgot and got caught up in it. You started looking at that instead of me. And when you looked at that, you had no solution. You had no way to answer the issue or the occasion. It was beyond you, wasn't it? You looked at your problem, you looked at your marriage, you looked at your life, you looked at everything, and when you're all done, wow! But hold it. That's because you lost sight of God. God, are you able? God, you sent them out in the dark. You sent them out in the most, and you came to them in the deeper, darkest part of the night, and you came to them. And you put them out. You didn't let them just go around a little bit offshore. You let them go all the way out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. You let them go out there. And God, and you didn't, you were going to pass by and say, hi, guys. You didn't even say, just you were going to go by. And they took note of you, that they had seen a ghost. Ah, wow, wow. Do you know there was another fellow named Nebuchadnezzar? And when he put the three friends of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he put them in the furnace. And do you know Nebuchadnezzar was going to follow through on the whole occasion, and he looked, and all of a sudden there were four men walking in the fire. Nebuchadnezzar, do I have your attention? Absolutely. Nebuchadnezzar said, you have my attention. And Nebuchadnezzar said, come on out, guys. Come on out of there. Think of saying that. Think of what it took for Nebuchadnezzar to go that far and saying, guys, if you're in there walking, come on out of there. Wow. Boy, Nebuchadnezzar, you're catching on, aren't you? He was. Here they are walking. And Peter, you're doubting, you're questioning. And you shouldn't be wavering at all. You should be looking. And thus in the process, verse 32. And when they were come, remember, they come into the ship, the wind ceased. So as they got onto the ship, into the ship, and the wind ceased. And the wind ceased. Now the word ceased means to labor, to be fatigued, to have extreme fatigue, to be all worn out. That's interesting. God's so good about stuff, you know. And in verse 32, and the wind ceased. The wind was tired of blowing and working at a storm. The wind needed to rest. And the Lord said, I know you're tired, Mr. Storm. Rest. Be still. And it was. Hold your finger here a moment. Over to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And picking up, if I may, Mark chapter 4. Oh, you remember the Lord was asleep in the back of the boat? And verse 38, 4 and 38 of Mark. And he was in the hinder part, the back part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, the storm, they were afraid. Verse 37, there rose a great storm, and the waves beat into the ship, that it was now full, and the ship was going to sink. Verse 38, and asleep in the pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we're perishing? We're perishing. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Be peace, be still. And the wind ceased. There's your word. The wind stopped being fatigued, tired. It stopped. It rested. And there was great calm. That's what he said. God, can you? I can't. Just like that. Just like that. And just stop it. Like glass. Way up in the air, like glass. Wow. Wow. Over to Matthew chapter 14. And if I can, in verse 32. And in chapter 32, you recall, so the fatigue, resting. And I would remind you, without going there, well, why not? It's such a great statement. You have to, Jonah was such a great guy. Over to Jonah. Jonah, if you would. In Jonah chapter 1, a little word in the Old Testament. Jonah chapter 1, please. Picking up, please. Remember now he's trying to get away from going to Nineveh. He doesn't want to go to Nineveh. He's trying to go a different direction. And he got on a ship to get a different, so he could have to go to a different direction. And in the process, verse 11, and now remember their ship? The ship was a great problem in the sea, and they were afraid of sinking. And therefore, then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee that the sea may... They understood the problem they had in the ocean out there was because of Jonah. They understood that. The guy that got us in trouble is this passenger, Jonah. And therefore they said, 1:11, Jonah, unto... What shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm, calm, quiet, has to rest unto us? And the sea, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous. Verse 12. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm. The sea will stop and rest. Won't be fatigued anymore. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Throw me overboard. And they did. And when he hit the water, the storm rested. Just like that. I would have been impressed myself. I am impressed always. Wow. Now, Matthew chapter 14. Oh, well, go with me, please. Oh, yeah. Mark chapter 14, verse 33. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. You are, truly, you are God the Son. You are the Son of God. Wow, no one else could even consider this. Now, in the light of that, Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, another piece of information. Mark chapter 6, if I may. Mark 6 and verse 51. And I'll read you verse 50 to have a little better. For they saw him, they all saw him and were troubled. Immediately, swiftly, spontaneously, he talked to them. He didn't take long to respond. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and they wondered. They were overwhelmed. It was beyond their imagination, their thought process, that this could be. Instead of looking at it from a God's standpoint and being overwhelmed by God's greatness, they were overwhelmed by the problem and the solving of it and the greatness. They got the problem mixed up with God. And when they did that, it was beyond them. It's impossible! Impossible! Ah. If I can. Verse 52. And the reason. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Did they understand the feeding of the 5,000? Andrew, Philip, did you guys understand what I tried to teach you about my power and my ability? Not yet. Not yet. How come you guys got a problem with this whole arrangement? Because your heart isn't ready yet. And you can't catch it. You can't catch the flavor of this. It's not ready. Now, having said that, now, overview would, please. And of such a truth, thou art the Son of God. Wow. Wow. Now, back over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. John 6, if I may, in verse 19. When they had rowed about 25 and 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he said unto them, It is I am, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship. Now, remember the immediate, spontaneous, instant. Storm stops, quiet. Here's a ship, boom, quiet, still as a stone, and they were right where they were supposed to be, at land. I thought they were out in the middle. They were. When God was finished with the test, he had them right where they were supposed to be. When God is finished with your testing, you'll be right where you're supposed to be. You want to go through the test. And when he's done with the test, you'll be right where. I will teach you in the way that I will choose. And you'll be right where you're supposed to be. Immediately. Instantly. You'll be there. Wow. Wow. I got to tell you. Instantly. Thus, God, here we are. God, you know everything and understand everything. I do. God, you're always present, even though you weren't in the boat, you're always there. We had to learn, you're always there. Where are we that you aren't? Nowhere. God, you allow, all kinds of things for our life, physical, mental, spiritual, social, economic. You allow all kinds of things to educate us. You let them happen. I do. God, the way that you choose, someone else never had that. Someone else says this. Someone else has it for 2 days. Someone else has it for 10 weeks. God, are we going to trust you? God, you make the storm. The storm serves your purpose. It does. And God, you have wonderful power. Instantly, speedily, you can do anything you want in a moment. So there's never a delay that is not necessary for some reason. And God, you are, encourage us. You tell us to have courage, be of good cheer, courage, confidence, you know. In the world, if John 16:33, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have what? Be of good cheer. There's your words. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Here's all the obstacles. Here's all the stuff that's overwhelming. But guys, what did you learn? What did you learn in this whole journey out there to the middle of the Sea of Galilee? In the middle of the storm, in the dark of the night. When it looked like everything would be lost. And then you saw me. And I tried to help you understand. I could have stopped the storm long before that. I allowed the storm to start. And I stopped the storm at the right time. I did that. I want you to be of good cheer, guys. I want you to be excited, exercised. When I'm finished, when I'm all done, you're going to be
right where I want you to be. If you learn well, the moment I'm finished with that test, you'll be ready for the next one. You'll go from the first grade to the second grade to the fourth grade to the eighth grade, Now we'll go to the ninth grade. Ready for the next thing? To grow, to know. Aha. Uh-huh. So now, God, Hebrews 11:6, you know. He that cometh to God, without faith it's impossible to please him. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is. I must believe that thou art God. Or God. I want you to God. God, you are God. For all that I need, you say, be of good cheer, I am. How did you answer me? Be of good courage, confidence, and then I'm going to give you the clue. I am. I am who I am. Do you believe that? That's a question. Do you believe that I am? I am the I am. What do you tell Israel? I am that I am. All right. So God, you're telling me that you're all I need. Uh-huh, that's right. You're telling me that your I am is enough. You're just enough. And by the way, and all that you need and all that you have, I am to you everything. I am all you need. All that I am, you have already. When you have me, you have it all. Do you believe that? But, do you believe that I am enough? I tried to give you illustrations that were very dynamic. My disciples that became apostles, they had to have one sure confidence in who I was. And I put them to school. I trained them. I trained them to understand who I am. And that no matter whether they were stoned, literally, to death, or whatever, I was sufficient. At any time, all the time. I am. I did that. God, miracle number one, you fed the power to feed them all. Mm-hmm. Miracle number two, you're able to go and have a special training course for your disciples in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Miracle number three, when I'm finished with the course, I put them in one moment of time, unexplainable. The little boat was there at land. From the middle to the land. What's your explanation for that? There is no explanation. You have to believe that I am. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and God, help us. Help us very much. Spirit of God, thank you. Thank you very, very much. We're looking to you, God, to deal with our heads, our hearts, our homes, our health, our wealth. God, you are something else, God. Wonderfully, wonderfully something else. Thank you very, very much. Help us to learn in our little lives, coming and going, driving, eating, sleeping, work, home, school, play, going to school. God, you're an ever-present help. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. And you may like to sing in closing, if you would, 546. 546.
first and second stanza.